I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of The Memo for this Wednesday, December the 7th. I'm Brad Locke with W. Derek Russell, Chris Kiefer, the producer here. Fellas, how are y'all?
It was very dulcet, very low-key, very mild.
It's a somber day in the sense that it's been 75 years since the attack on Pearl Harbor, three-quarters of a century, but it's something that, as our editorial states today, you need to take time to pause and remember.
What do you remember about that day?
That was 6 months, 5 months.
Before you were born?
Before my dad was born. Exactly 5 months before he was born. So it's a long time ago. But I still do have some people still alive that were there for it. I know we had an Associated Press story today about a guy who was on the USS Arizona.
Yeah.
That is going back to visit again. He's 90-something. I mean, these guys they're dying off. And it's good to hear their stories.
I heard a story on NPR the other day about the oldest living person recorded.
Yeah.
Right now is 117.
In Italy or
in
something?
In Rome, yeah.
Yeah, Rome.
Yeah. She was the last person, believed to be the last person that was around for the 19th century.
Right, right. And it's crazy.
20th century. 19th century. Yeah.
Born in 1899. Not that she would remember anything about 1899.
Yeah.
That's just crazy to think about. So yeah, that person was like hitting her midlife crisis when World War II happened. She's still around.
Okay, sure.
That's great. I'm just saying, perspective. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I've gotten into Parks and Rec lately after it's gone off the air because that's how I do things, apparently. Because one of my kids is really into it, watching it on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And Rob Lowe, who I love, is on that show.
Literally.
Anyway, he's a very talented man. But there's his character is really funny. And at one of the episodes, he's like, you know, scientists believe the first person to live to 150 years old has already been born. I believe I am that person. So that's something I've always kind of wondered about. Like, you know, it's like the old conventional wisdom is human beings just can't live past like 120 or something. It's like the top end for whatever reason.
I don't know how reputable it is, but if you Google all oldest living person.
Mr. Google is never wrong.
Indonesia. There are reports that there's someone living in Indonesia who's 145 years old.
I don't know why you're checking Google when you could be asking Jeeves.
What does Jeeves say?
Jeeves, is that still around?
Ask Jeeves. Yeah, I think it's just ask.com.
Ask.com, that's right. Yeah.
Brad's checking for us.
Oldest person in Indonesia. Well, I'll tell you what. If this person is 145 years old, they sure do look it.
I'll only believe it.
I mean, the visual evidence is compelling. Yeah, this is from the Jakarta Post. I don't know how reputable of a publication
I will
this
only
is.
Believe it if it comes from the National Geographic.
146.
Yeah, because this article's from
September. He's definitely over 100. You can tell that.
Mummy?
Yeah, I was about to say. He stole the words right out of my mouth. He kind of looks like a living mummy. God bless him.
See, he's just been sitting in that chair for the last 5 years. They think he's still alive, but he's not. Nobody's bothered to check.
I can't pronounce his name. It looks like Mbagatho.
Sounds good.
Mbop.
No.
Thought you said Mbop.
But
this is great. He says, "I have wanted to die for a long time.
Please put me out of my misery."
That's what it says.
Please just kill me.
Oh, man. Born in 1870. If the data is valid, he's far older than the woman you mentioned. I don't know how to pronounce her name either because she's French, apparently.
Born right after the Civil War ended.
Well, no, this says he's 122, so this could be a different person. So I don't know. Hmm. This is from September, so that lady probably has died. Where were we?
Switching back, yeah.
Sorry.
What happened?
Let's go back to Pearl Harbor.
I guess off track. That's what I was going to say. I mean, you know, you were going and talking in that direction. It's such an important day in our country's history, in the world's history. Such a day that will live in infamy.
Yeah.
And a day that's probably forgotten by a lot of people today.
Yeah. Does not need to be
forgotten.
So
today is an important day to think about it.
What does need to be forgotten is Pearl Harbor, the movie. That needs to be forgotten.
That's the Titanic of war movies.
That is a piece of garbage movie. I mean, it's Michael Bay. What do you expect? But it's a piece of garbage movie. And things Brad doesn't like.
Add it to the list.
Hadn't seen Star Wars, but he has seen Pearl Harbor.
No, I've seen Star Wars.
Back talking on.
Sorry.
No, but the other, I wanted to make the point too. Besides, I think it's important in thinking about the events today of Pearl Harbor, but even more so, and I know Zach's going to be in here a little bit and talking, his story to what local people remember about it. But I think what happened after Pearl Harbor and the sacrifice of so many people, and the people, and he had a story today about, again, Northeast Mississippi residents and their memory of the day, and both of them shortly afterwards, signed up to go fight, in the war, and the sacrifice of that generation that, I guess was called kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, like one of the guys said.
Began on that day. The greatest generation, as Tom Brokaw wrote. And as Derek said a minute ago, we're losing more and more World War II veterans. I think today is also just a day to be appreciative of what they did.
One of the guys Zach spoke to, they had the draft back then, but he was like, everybody was enlisting. So, if they weren't drafted, they were probably enlisting. This guy he talked to was 18 when it happened, so he was just just old enough to do it, and he joined up with the Navy. And we'll talk with Zach about that. Good story he had there about Pearl Harbor. So, yeah,
I'm captivated now by the Rotten Tomatoes score for Pearl Harbor. It has 25%.
That high? Huh.
Well, you can't trust this stuff. Armageddon has 39%, Brad.
That's
all because.
Well, now that one, Armageddon is not a great movie either.
It's all because of the music.
I have sentimental.
Armageddon is a fantastic, terrible movie.
Yeah, well, it's got Bruce Willis, and I'm going to give anything with him a chance. But
and Aerosmith.
Well, that song's terrible.
It's terrible.
And the country version's even worse.
Country version? Why does country ruin everything?
It doesn't. Mark Chestnut, let me tell you. Well, we can talk about your hatred of country music in a moment. Because I want to talk about this. Actually, I want to talk about the Grammy nominations. But I have sentimental attachment to Armageddon because my wife and I and the wedding party, we all went to watch that the night before I got married. I don't know why, but we did. We were young and stupid. Young and stupid. Wow,
the precursor of the next day.
Both of those movies that we've mentioned had Ben Affleck in them.
Yeah. Hmm. That's why I had it listed. You may also be interested in Armageddon.
Back when he still made bad movies.
He still makes bad movies.
Well, I heard he's gotten better.
I'm not saying every movie Ben Affleck makes is bad. I'm just saying Ben Affleck still makes bad movies.
Right.
You didn't see Batman and Superman.
True. And I heard mixed reviews on that one. Mm. The Grammy.
Or Suicide Squad.
Hey, the Grammy nominations.
What about them?
What'd you think? Speaking of country.
Well, the hashtag, who the blank is Sturgill Simpson, got around pretty quickly.
Well, I'm glad Sturgill Simpson got nominated. He is a country artist, but not part of that Music Row establishment, and kind of basically on purpose, not part of that. And I've loved all his work. His latest album that came out this year, it's up for Album of the Year against Beyonce, who's probably going to win, but Drake, This Is Me, with a look of confusion on my face.
Bieber. I love it when he tries to act like he's young.
Bieber, because I guess he sold a lot of copies. Adele, who's legit.
Yeah.
And I want to say that's it. So those five.
All right.
So I hope Sturgill wins. If you don't like country music, you would still like Sturgill Simpson.
It'll be like a few years ago when Arcade Fire won. Everybody was like, who is Arcade Fire?
Yeah.
If someone is just learning about Sturgill Simpson and wanting to listen to one song, which song should would you recommend?
That is a very tough one. I would probably recommend Brace for Impact. That or Call to Arms, both off the new album, which is called A Sailor's Guide to Earth. Basically wrote it as like a letter to his very young son who was born a couple of years ago, a letter from the world to him. So it's really good. It's not maybe what you would expect, especially if you listen to country radio, which you'll never hear Sturgill on, but he's got the Dap Kings backing him up, the really, really good horn section on a lot of the songs. So I cannot recommend that album highly enough. So. Well, when are the Grammys? Like mid-February?
Mm-hmm, I think so.
Okay. Any other nominations stick out to you? Do you pay attention to that? Do you care?
I'm sure Beyonce will win.
I'm sure she will. Lemonade was a pretty big deal. I haven't heard it yet. Not because I don't like Beyonce. I just don't listen to Beyonce.
I don't think Beyonce is in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, maybe not.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. A lot of things aren't in your wheelhouse at your age.
True.
Like hopscotch or jump rope.
Hey, you
how
know
are the bones holding up?
I played church league basketball
good
the first game of the year 2 nights ago, and I don't feel that bad today. Usually it's 2 days afterwards that you feel really sore. I got through that yesterday, and I'm fine.
Yeah. When's game number two?
Next Monday. So I didn't score any points. I mean, let's not get crazy.
Rebounds?
Threw up a couple of air balls. I got a rebound or two.
All right.
Only a couple of turnovers. We lost by a lot. So Derek's over there on his phone, so let me tell you about what's on the show today.
I tuned you out.
It's Zach Orsborner, we mentioned, is going
I'm
to
sorry,
be.
I was dealing with a source. Would you let me? I needed to do work for a moment.
What's a source?
Well, reporters have contacts that they use for their stories.
That's part of my problem. We've got Zach on the show. We've got William Moore to talk about the burn ban that has been lifted. Now we've gotten all this rain. And lots of other stuff, I guess. More banter from Derek and I.
Unfortunately.
Yes. Okay. Hey, let's remind you that today's show is brought to you by Shoppers Value Foods. Formerly known as Palmer's, the locally owned grocery store still offers high quality selection, great customer service, and low prices. Visit Shoppers Value Foods on East Main.
We also remind you that the memo is seeking your input on how we can improve. We would like to know what you liked about the podcast and any suggestions you have to make us better. Please take our 10-question online survey at djournal.com/memo survey. You can also email us comments at memo@journalinc.com.
Let's see, right? One of the questions is, which co-host should they keep, Brad or Derek?
Or
that's
neither.
Fine. They can keep you, Brad.
No.
Or see none of the above.
You're the heart of the show, Derek. Let's welcome Zach Orsborn into the program now. Zach, how you doing, man?
Doing good. How about you, Brad?
All right, man. I want to talk with you about this story you had, talking with a couple of local veterans about their memories of Pearl Harbor. Now, they weren't there, but they certainly remember the day. And one of the guys you talked to, Ronnie Young, he was 18 at the time, was actually delivering newspapers. And then, you know, saw the headline, Pearl Harbor attacked, and, you know, kind of, obviously, it affected pretty much every American, but it affected him to the point that he decided to enlist, didn't he?
Yes. So he was 18 at the time. He was delivering papers around the neighborhood on December 7th, and it was like an extra, you know.
Yeah, because it happened in Hawaii, which is several hours behind. It happened in the morning, didn't it?
Yeah.
So afternoon papers probably had a lot of it probably had stories on it.
I think it happened
then.
In like 8 in the morning.
Yeah.
So it was like an extra. It wasn't like the day, like the morning of. But
yeah.
So around that time, he said that pretty much everybody he knew was joining the service. And he lived at Wisconsin in the time, but he lives at Tupelo now. He said, we needed to fight these people. The war effort was so big and everybody had their mind on war. There was a bunch of young kids thrown into a war. We were there for one reason, to serve our country. I'm sure everybody had fear.
Yeah, and after a month of training, he gets shipped off to the South Pacific.
Yes. He joined the U.S. Navy, and he pretty much, after he served, I think he served for about 4 or 5 years, or no, he lived in the South Pacific for about 4 years.
Okay, wow.
And then, so he's visited the Pearl Harbor Memorial.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said it's just a big naval base right now. And he said it's different from the days the Japanese hit it. And
yeah.
He's 93 now.
Wow.
And he had a really good memory of things.
Wow. Yeah, I bet. And he also spoke with Donald Grant of Iuka. Mm-hmm. He was only 5 at the time, but he remembers it as well because, I mean, your story says he was at a birthday party when the news came over the radio, and he remembers the way people reacted at the time.
So he was at a birthday party, and then it came on the radio, and the party ended, and he remembered, you know, all the adults being pretty upset, especially his older brother. I think his older brother, he said he was around 25.
Wow.
And he remembers sitting on the couch when his brother told his parents that he was going to join because of Pearl Harbor.
Wow.
He said he was pretty angry at the time, you know, because of the attacks. And
yeah.
And
Grant's also visited, Mr. Grant has visited Pearl Harbor. He called it kind of eerie.
Yeah.
He?
So whenever he was out there looking at the memorial, he would see these oil bubbles pop up because there's still oil in the USS Arizona,
wow,
which is one of the ships that got hit and sank. But you can still see the battleship kind of underneath with the memorial on top. And he said, the ship is just laying there at the bottom. A big blob of oil will pop up because it still has oil inside. A lot of these old survivors will have their ashes spread there.
Man, they're just kind of eerie.
It is. He kept saying how eerie and kind of creepy it was, but also, you know, kind of is a very historic moment.
Yeah.
To go back and be a veteran, to go back and look at that.
I kind of want to just get your thoughts on, you know, working on this kind of story. I mean, this happened a good half century before you were born, certainly way before any of us were born. And heck, it happened a few months before my dad was born. I mean, it's a long time ago, but to be able to kind of do something like this, that maybe gives you a better appreciation of everything.
It does. It definitely, you know, when 9/11 happened, I was like in third grade. And so this was kind of like, you know, a 9/11 back then. So it's definitely one of those never forget moments.
Did he just say when 9/11 happened, he was in third grade?
I was working full time in North Carolina at a newspaper.
I was in third grade, Rankin Elementary.
Nice.
And so I tried to find somebody that was actually in Honolulu when it happened, but
that's tough to do these days.
Tough to do, but
not many of them left.
These guys had a lot to say about kind of the political climate of the time,
sure,
and how, you know, everybody was just kind of fearful, and
especially
since it was a surprise attack.
Right.
Even though it had been leading up to war for a while, it was a huge surprise for America.
Yeah. Well, y'all can find Zach's story in today's journal and in djournal.com. Good stuff, Zach. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, be sure to look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself, Blake Morgan, and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday, so look for one today. You can listen to it for free in iTunes or podcast apps or at preprally.djournal.com. And Ole Miss and the Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes or podcast apps or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
William Moore joining us today to discuss burn bans.
Or the lifted lack thereof.
Or the lack thereof. I was going to get into the season. I was going to light the desk on fire today. I mean, we can go crazy. It's anarchy.
Well, so
it's basically like the Purge now. See, we can just go out and start burning things.
But you could have done that anyway. It was only a ban on outdoor burning.
Well,
indoor burning was okay.
I have a feeling if I had lit this correctly, this whole place would have led to an outdoor burn.
But the Forestry Commission wouldn't have been upset.
Well, this is true. Smokey wouldn't have gotten on my tail about it. So
no, the fire chief might have.
Yeah.
And Clay Foster might have as well.
It's 6 and 1/2 dozen other. Well, who could say? But we're fine now outside. We could go light some leaves on fire and throw them in the
outside,
streets.
We're good, though. Late last week, the governor lifted his partial state-level burn ban, which sort of encompassed 52 counties, basically the entire central and northern half of the county. He lifted his, but there were still several counties that had burn bans that were still in effect, including Lee County. And they let theirs expire Monday morning, so now outdoor burning is okay.
What's the point of the governor having one that the Forestry Commission has? Well, is that just like, yeah, I say it too. Me too.
Well, the governor supersedes anything that the county has.
Right.
So basically he's saying that, you know, even if the county decided, all right, well, we've had enough rain, we want to lift ours, his ban was still in effect. And it was sort of says, no, we want to make sure that everybody has enough rain before we decide to actually lift this ban. You know, and just this area, I mean, Tupelo was running a deficit. I mean, there had been a drought. I mean, we hadn't had appreciable rain since August. And we were running like 10 inches behind. And over the past 10 days, we've got, I mean, at my house personally, I got a little over 7 inches of rain.
Sure.
So, I mean, that takes a big, if you're 10 inches behind and all of a sudden you get 7, that helps out an awful lot. I mean, there were folks complaining on social media last week after that first series of rain, saying, you know, well, my yard's a mud pile. You know, it's a big muddy mess right now. Why are we still under a burn ban?
Yeah.
You know, but it takes a while for that water to soak down into the ground and to really alleviate the problem. I mean, my neighbor's yard, clay yard, I mean, during the height of the drought, I mean, they were cracks in the yard, probably 3/4 of an inch across. And I went out there and looked this morning, and I mean, you can still see the cracks. I mean, they've are trying to swell up. But I mean, so even though we got 7 inches of rain, there's still more needed for the ground. But, you know, they're saying it's now safer that you can burn. You still need to watch out if it's windy conditions, which it has been lately. But it's one of those things now, you know, it's finally gotten cold outside, and the folks who have fire pits and chimneys who wanted to sit out on their patio.
Chris Kiefer's happy.
Yeah. Yeah, we have several people
in
here.
He's a big arsonist.
No, not an arsonist. Pyromaniac.
Okay, that too.
There's a difference.
Okay.
Important
difference. Yeah, one does good, one does felony.
He's just like setting stuff on fire.
They're still saying, all right, well, you need to pay attention to what's going on because, man, according to the Forestry Commission, open fires, even like fire pits, your backyard fire pits, the burning embers can go up,
sure,
travel up to a half mile and set another fire. And if they can determine that it was your fire that caused this other fire to start, you can be held legally responsible and financially responsible. Mm. So yeah, that's why they're urging folks to go pay attention to what's going on, use caution.
William, thanks for joining us.
Glad to.
Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live on Monday afternoons around 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day as Bobby provides perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Also, be sure to wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break. It's a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows will be posted every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Stay informed on the latest happenings in your community in an easily digestible format. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. There are only a few days left before the remaining angels on the Golden Angels tree to be picked up at the Thompson Square Chick-fil-A. The Golden Angels tree program, in its 17th year, mimics the Salvation Army's angel tree, except that the wish list on the tree are requests of the elderly and others living in 5 area nursing homes. Chick-fil-A restaurant owner Jamie Finley said they do between 375 and 450 angels each year. Items requested include gowns, pajamas, baseball caps, and even video games. Nursing homes in Amory, Oklahoma, and Tupelo send their angels to Chick-fil-A. Diners browse for an angel on the tree, take one, and bring the gifts they purchased back to the restaurant to place under the tree. All gifts are due back by Saturday so that employees can sort them for distribution.
Elementary students across the Tupelo Public School District are rallying behind one of their own this holiday season. Riley Hell, a third-grade student at Rankin Elementary, was diagnosed with bone cancer in August. Gifted students at Rankin, Joyner, and Pierce Street, and Thomas Street, and Parkway have organized a fundraiser for Hell that will take place on Friday. The fundraiser is called Rally for Riley and will be held at the Hancock Leadership Center at Itawamba Community College's Tupelo campus. There will be a gift market and a raffle open to the public. This all started out as a service project for Rankin students, but the fundraiser quickly caught the attention of neighboring schools who asked to pitch in. Students have been working for months making crafts for Friday's event, including glitter ornaments in Hale's 2 favorite colors, pink and purple. Students will be asking for donations in exchange for the crafts. Several local businesses have also donated items to be raffled off. All proceeds from the fundraiser will go directly to Hale and her family. Hale has been receiving medical treatment at St. Jude Children's Hospital and will continue to do so.
If you're planning to visit the Mississippi Capitol during the upcoming legislative session, you may need to allow more time to enter the building. One of the building's 2 public entrances will be closed for about a year while crews complete a renovation project. The biggest impact will be felt during the upcoming 3-month legislative session when the number of visitors to the Capitol increases significantly. That session starts in early January. The building's north entrance was closed on Monday for work on the terrace above the north entrance and the room where the public entrance had been located. Like the rest of the building, the area has suffered water damage over a multi-year period. The ornate building was opened in 1903 and has recently been designated a National Historic Landmark. Officials say that designation makes it even more important to make renovations and prevent more decay. For now, the public must use the first floor doors on the south side. The south entrance is located below the massive staircase that leads to entrances on the second floor.
At least one Lee County supervisor wants to replace County Administrator Sean Thompson. District 2 Supervisor Mike Smith said during a Monday morning meeting of the Board of Supervisors that health-related issues continue to hamper Thompson's job performance. Thompson suffered a severe stroke in June of 2015. He was in a medically induced coma for 10 days and spent almost 3 weeks in intensive care. He began to ease back into his county administrator job by the end of 2015. Smith pressed the board on Monday to enter into an executive session to discuss personnel matters, but when no one had agreed to do so, he forced the discussion on the issue of Thompson. Smith cited recurrent forgetfulness by Thompson as a defect in his job performance. Smith also expressed sympathy for Thompson's health struggles, but said taxpayers must come first.
Nearly 2,000 more Mississippians have signed up for health care coverage under the Affordable Care Act this year compared to the same period last year. That is according to data released last week by the U.S. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Since open enrollment began on November 1st, about 18,500 Mississippians have signed up. The rise is reflected in the national numbers, too. As of November 26th, 2.1 million Americans had signed up for coverage using the federal exchange. That is an increase of 97,287 over the first 4 weeks of enrollment in 2015. It remains unclear what the coverage will look like under the administration of President-elect Donald Trump. Trump campaigned on a promise to repeal the Affordable Care Act. However, in recent weeks, he has expressed support for certain provisions of the health law. Need to remind you that today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, a locally owned grocery store on East Main. The store recently changed its name from Palmer's, but the owners and the employees haven't changed. Damon Palmer and his brother Jason are the third generation owners of the East Tupelo grocery store that was founded in 1957. Palmer Brothers have teamed up with last year's Grocery Wholesaler of the Year and decided to go with their Cost Plus program. So the store now sells its groceries at 10% over cost, and that's allowed it to add more variety, especially in the meat, produce, and dairy departments. Along with the name change came a refreshing of the interior, new signs, and better parking. So visit Shoppers Value Foods for high-quality selection, great customer service, and low prices.
Jenna Parsons joining us on this Wednesday to discuss the food section. You look very festive today, Jenna.
Thank you, Derek.
How are
As
you?
Do you.
I don't. Look very bland and
no, you're bright and blue.
Fit in the background easily, where nobody would notice me.
Are you hiding?
Maybe. Then they'll never find me again if I have anything to say about it. Your column today about soup made me wish for soup because I'm cold.
Yes, but it's got like mushrooms, and I remember one of y'all don't like mushrooms. It's Brad. Yeah, okay.
Usually it's Brad.
It's usually me.
You loop me in a lot of
unless
the time.
It's a pork loin. And then it's Derek.
Then it's
all
me.
Day.
But that's for very different reasons.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine with creamy wild rice and mushroom soup. I went to where did I go yesterday for lunch? They had soup and they had
how
mushroom
quickly
soup.
We age.
Amsterdam.
Oh.
And
I like that
they
restaurant.
They had mushroom soup yesterday, but I did not partake because I wanted a chicken sandwich and I should have gotten the soup. Actually, they had crab bisque as well, and I should have opted for that. But anyway, that has nothing to do with your column. Tell us about the soup you made.
Well, actually, I made it a few years ago. It was a young cook of the week. I think at the time I interviewed her, she was in her 20s, and she comes from a long line of cooks. I had interviewed her grandfather before and her aunt. Or maybe it was her mother. I don't know. They were all in the Skinner family.
She's a legacy cook of the week.
Yes. And she had made this creamy wild rice and mushroom soup for us to take a picture of. And it was sort of simmering on the back of the stove. Mm-hmm. And it just smelled so wonderful. We did the interview in December of 2009. So it was one of those cold, raw days. And she offered me some and I partook.
Yes.
And then I came home that week and made a big pot, and my family loved it. And then as a lot of recipes, as it goes in my house, they disappear.
I don't find them
again until I'm looking for something else or I happen to think of it. And I was on Pinterest, and I saw a picture of a creamy mushroom soup, and I thought, gosh, I've had that soup or something similar. So I dug the recipe out and shared it again because it is worth it.
Charlie one time told me, and your husband Charlie, when I said Charlie, not Charlie Brown or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or anybody like that.
I call him Chuckles.
Chuckles told me one day that, Chuckles the Clown. It's a Mary Tyler Moore reference. He didn't get that, I bet.
What?
Oh, that's a great episode.
Wouldn't listen to you.
The Chuckles the Clown episode from Mary Tyler Moore.
His funeral. I don't know where I was going with that now. Oh, he told me one day that you had, and he said approximately, 10,000 cookbooks at home.
I don't think it's 10,000.
Oh, okay.
But it's a bunch.
He lied to me.
10,000 would be a lot.
It would. 10,000 of anything is impressive. Maybe 2,000?
Possibly.
Well, even that's a large number to have. You probably easily have that many at your desk. But thanks for joining us today, Jenna.
Another fine program, Derek.
If you say so.
You're still on this phone.
I'm still trying to work out a story. I'm sorry, Brad.
What are you breaking here, man?
Huh? I'm not.
What news we got?
Well.
You just can't tell me.
I do what I can. No, I can't, actually. It's an anonymous source.
Oh, anonymous source. It sounds mm-hmm. important.
It is.
Hmm. Now you got me intrigued.
Nope.
Something to do with a concert coming here?
No.
Big artist?
No.
Big event?
Actually, there will be a very large announcement, concert announcement on Monday morning.
Large. Sturgill Simpson coming?
No.
I bet he'd fill the arena, though.
I can neither confirm nor deny. No, it's not. I can deny it's not.
Beyonce.
It is Beyonce, yes. Yes.
You heard it here
we
first.
Can't get Garth Brooks here, but we got Beyonce. No, we did not get Beyonce. Let me, people who think that Target's coming will be all over that.
Yes, that's right. Target's going to come any day now. It's fine.
Beyonce will be performing at the ribbon cutting for Target. No Beyonce, no Target.
And that's when Elvis was making his announcement that he's still alive, right?
Oh, so it's Tupac. We're going to have Tupac on the show today, remember? We're in the morning meeting and somebody
just seems
misheard.
Seems disrespectful to talk about dead people like that.
No, it doesn't.
You said somebody, two podcasts.
Yeah, I said I had two podcasts to do today, and somebody was like, Tupac's on the podcast. I was like, yeah, you know, he's alive. He's coming back. Going to break records with the downloads for the podcast. We had Tupac on here.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
Oh, there's a dollar for the anyway jar.
Yep.
First one today, though. I'm getting better. That's a fine show we had today, Derek. You go work on your anonymous sourced story.
I'm gonna.
Hope you've got at least two sources. You always have to have confirmation. From a second source.
I'll make sure and have two, Brad. Thanks for...
Three is ideal.
I really appreciate you keeping me in check.
But I suppose it depends on just how confident you are in your sources.
Sure. Thanks for the assistance.
Derek pulls out his wallet for some reason.
The nuclear codes are in my wallet. Do you need to know, like, you question everything I do today?
Yes, you're acting very strange.
No, I'm not.
Anyway, people can... Oop, that's $2. People can find us online at memo.djournal.com. We're on iTunes. We're on your podcast apps like Player.fm, Stitcher, Satchel, whatever else there is out there. I don't know because I have an iPhone. So I'll just use the podcast app on the iPhone. But if you have an Android or some other weird phone like that blows up on airplanes, then there's those podcast apps.
That was weird. It was flying. People had to turn over their phones when I was flying last week. It had the Note 7 or 7 Note or whatever
it's
called.
Yeah, the Samsung Galaxy Notes.
Yeah, they were having to...
That is weird. What causes that? Air pressure?
No, they spontaneously combust on the ground. They just don't want to spontaneously combust in the air.
That's weird.
So what did they do with them? They still put them on the plane?
No.
Nope. You just don't get your phone back?
You don't get your phone.
They
would overnight it for you.
Wow. But,
you don't get your phone. They would not allow them in the air. At least Delta wouldn't. I don't know about anywhere else.
Wow. Good grief. That's crazy. Mm. Mm. Hey, we're on Twitter as well, at DJournalMemo. I'm on there at Brad Locke. Derek's on there at W. Derek Russell. Chris is on there at Chris Kiefer. If you didn't get all that, rewind it. That's why. That's what's great about a podcast. Rewind it and re-listen.
Hit that button.
There you go. We'll be back tomorrow with another show. But first, we need to remind you, before we leave, today's show is brought to you by Shoppers Value Foods. The Palmer Brothers have worked hard on improving every area of the store to make customers' experiences even better than before and to save them money on quality name brand products. Visit the locally owned grocery store on East Main Street. You'll love the look, love the prices, and get helped by the same people you knew at Palmer's. All right, fellas. We're out.
One more this week.
One more tomorrow. We'll be back then. Everybody, have a great Wednesday.
Bye.